All right. Have you got your silence yet?
Yes, I got it. Well, it was silent while you were gone.
Good.
So rare when you're
then
here.
And I did not pee in vain.
Well, thanks for listening to the show, everyone, and we'll see you next week. This has been Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hey, Dave, time to end the show.
Okay.
No, you don't go, okay. You got to keep going backwards. You can't respond Everything is like, you know, I say fine. You go, how's it going?
I am, you know what? I just want to tell you, everyone, I am such a good improviser.
Hey, Dave, why don't you tell everyone what kind of improviser you are?
I am such a good improviser.
No, you I'm did going it again. Backwards. No, wrong. This actually is one of the hardest improv
that
games.
Would be
is
hard
the backwards
to do.
Game.
I cannot do it because obviously I don't know what you're doing.
What you need is with that scene is bold choices. Like someone has to go hippopotamus, and then the other person goes, "What's the one animal you wouldn't have sex with?"
Okay,
you know, something
okay.
Like that.
Yeah. I just can't even think that way because when you say it, my mind wants to go linearly forward, not go backwards. So.
That's the point of almost all those improv.
So it's
games,
a real wreck.
To get your brain moving in a different direction. Yeah. Did you ever do the artist whatever they're working the left side of the brain or the right side of the brain? Well, there was a famous book about that, right? Mm-hmm. Where you worked with the other side of the brain. Did you ever try that?
I never tried that. No.
Did you ever do any art books?
I tried, but I'm not. I don't have the discipline, the self-discipline to do that.
Did you ever try reading a book on self-discipline?
couldn't get through it.
Okay.
Actually, everyone, this is Sneaky Dragon. My name is David.
Oh, geez,
did you introduce yourself?
The intro. Well, everyone knows. They downloaded it.
Yeah.
Words are floating across on whatever device they have.
They could be like
anyway.
Me.
You're correct. Ian Boothby is my name. Hi, how are you?
They might have not got through like the first couple words before they're just like, "Ah, this is boring. I'm just going to listen to the show."
True. Well, that's what I do with. As we've said, I do that with almost all podcasts. I will always fast forward past the first 5 minutes, and usually the first 10 minutes. You know, and so with the exception of maybe I won't do that with This American Life because I'll have a little short thing at the beginning and you got to get that. But for the most part, it's bullshit and ads for the first 5 minutes of most podcasts. Yeah. They just, everyone's just getting there. They're warming up, you don't show up at the stadium, just watch the baseball game and watch all the warm-ups first. You show up at the game.
I do.
Well, there you go.
I like that part of it.
Yeah, you sneak in the locker room and watch people doing stretches.
Baseball, I've never been to a baseball game, professional baseball game, but
wow, I have. That's weird.
Oh, strange. Oh,
okay.
But like a hockey, when they're warming up stuff, they'll do stuff warming up that they won't do in the game. Now, they'll do fancy little skating tricks or they'll, just do like, little fancy shots in the net and stuff. Because in the game, it's hard to do those sort of things. One, it's showboating, and that gets the other team mad at you, and so you can get in. You can get, in trouble.
If I could just go to stand-up comedy shows, say, 10 minutes in, that would also be fantastic.
Why, you want to miss the host's introduction to the show?
Yeah, there's no...
Really?
Yeah, because the host's introduction, and I say this as someone who has hosted these shows,
yeah.
you got to come in, you got to do the, hey, how you doing, get that first burst of applause,
yeah,
and then you might do a joke. Might do a joke, but you're probably going to do a lot of, specifics about the crowd, a little crowd work, getting the crowd warmed up, getting them a little pumped. Then you do a joke.
Yeah.
Then you do someone's react to someone reacting to the joke. You're building up the audience. We got a rapport.
Yeah.
You set up what the show's about. You kind of get the rhythm down. Go, listen, you can talk during my bit, but don't talk during their bit. Blah, blah, boo. Here's what's going on. It's all that stuff I need to see. I want to see people doing their acts. Get while the getting's good, get in there. Like a movie, I will show up, obviously, because the first scene in a movie, especially an action movie, should be your grabber scene. That should be your second best scene right off the top.
Okay.
Big scene. But like, almost anytime it's like a stand-up show or an improv show or some kind of comedy, the first thing is just, trying to settle people in and calm everyone down and set the room. And I feel I've seen enough stuff that I'm set. I know how this works. I don't need you to introduce your podcast and tell me what's going on. I've read the title of the podcast. I've read the topic of the podcast. I've downloaded the podcast. Yeah. I've probably heard this podcast before. We're good. I don't need to hear the ad for Squarespace. I don't need to hear the ad for the snacks that come at your house and their nuts and dried fruit. I don't need to hear that. Just bring it on. What do you got to say? That's when I want to start listening to what you got to say.
And what's interesting is my listening habits. I do not listen to a single podcast that has ads in it.
Okay. So what podcast do you listen to?
Process Party.
Mm-hmm.
The one that some of our show friends do, the Trade Waiters.
Okay. That's Kathleen Gross's.
Kathleen Gross and Jeff Ellis. So
Jeff Ellis,
and
yeah.
Another.
Both guests on the show.
Yep.
Who will be guests on the show again someday soon.
If they play their cards right. And then a show, I think I talked about before, a show called Unbelievable, a show from Britain. It's like a Christian show, but they have like atheists and Christians on to talk. It's interesting.
There are a lot of atheist podcasts.
Yes. Well, I think that really plays to the interests of computer people, like computer literate people.
Our friend Heather Gilbert, who has also been on the show. Did I mispronounce her name?
I couldn't hear you, so I was just wanted to make sure.
Okay, very good. She was asking, someone was asking to recommend podcasts, and they listed all the podcasts they liked, and there was like about...
The Scathing Atheists and the...
Five atheist ones, yeah. And then she went, oh, you know, on a side note, you might like Completely Beatles, and gave her a recommendation for that. But I was just surprised there was this many atheist podcasts.
Doesn't it seem odd, though? Because, I mean, I guess, I know, speaking as a Christian,
I don't believe it exists. You get like five other podcasts done. like just that you get a third week out of that seems impressive.
Well, there's probably a lot of faux outrage at various.
And I say that as an agnostic. You know, it's like I don't know if I've got much to say past. You know,
past that.
Past 15 minutes. You know, if that. Yeah, I could counter things.
Yeah,
you know, if I wanted to. But
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's very strange. Like I said, I listened to this show, Unbelievable, and it's not. Strictly a Christian show. It's not really a debate show. I don't like Christian atheist debates. I find them very dull.
I think you do like them. Well, let's discuss.
Okay, let's start that. I didn't come here for an argument. I came here. Yeah, you're just contradicting me. No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
By the way, I've always wanted to do a sketch where you have it's like Python, but today, and so it's the start is that, and it's like looking for an argument. Oh, here's the internet, and then that's the end of the sketch.
There you go. But it's more like a discussion. So both sides are very—they're very agreeable, and they don't like. Sometimes people will get a little bit into a tussle, but most of the time, it's a pretty. It's a very, you know.
Do you know who gets into really heated arguments? People that say, "I love a good discussion." Mm. Those are the people who say, "I love a good discussion." So you don't get upset at these things. No, I love a good discussion, a good back and forth. That is the fucker that in 10 minutes is going to be losing their shit and storming out.
Probably right.
Right. By the way, and the person who you're all going to hate in about 10 minutes, who is never going to have people talk to him again, is the one who goes, "I just want to let you know, I got a bit of a dark sense of humor."
Mm.
That person. No good.
But I just wonder, because like if you're listening... Like if I was listening to a religious podcast, like a Christian podcast, okay. I would want one that was about theology, the history of theology, the history of the Bible, you know.
Not someone saying all the miracles that happened to them.
That would be dull. And then not like, God is real. Yeah, we all agree on that, right? Yeah, God is great and God is doing, you know, like, what, why would you want to listen to that? Like for an hour, boring. So the opposite to me seems just as boring. God isn't great. God isn't real. We all agree on that, right? Yeah. Woo, boo.
Yeah, that's
his boo, God.
That's patter backs.
But I imagine those shows are full of like, you know, news from outrageous things that Christians are doing right now. Or,
right.
You know, so then they're like, in such and such county, in Yucatuck County, in...
I really appreciate you giving a funny funny name.
You're welcome. County in
next to Lake Titicaca,
West Virginia. town council has now made it illegal to not believe in the Ten Commandments or something. You know, something stupid that people would do somewhere, and you know, bully politics, or whatever. And that's what I imagine those shows are. It's just full of stuff like where people can get outraged. I can't believe that in Yucatuck County, some idiot would think that's a good idea, or whatever. You know.
Like, now I'm blanking on his name. I want who's the person who does Mage? That's Martin Wagner?
Matt Wagner.
Matt Wagner, because there's a Martin Wagner, and he did a
Hepcats.
Hepcats, exactly. Hepcats was, if you don't know, a comic book about anthropomorphized. Well, not anthropomorphized. They were human like cats.
Yeah, I think. But there were also rhinos and stuff like that. There was a variety of, but they had human bodies,
right? And animal heads.
Animal heads,
and they had sex. And it was
very disturbing.
It seemed kind of influenced by Cerebus. If you look at the kind of the inking style you. Okay. And this, the fellow who did it, him and I had a little falling out online many, many years ago because I thought he was ripping people off. That's just me at the time. And I think I was proven to be right. A lot of stuff where people would say, "Where's my subscription to where's my comics?" And he went, "Well, I never got it from you." Oh, okay. And there was one point where he was asking for money years later to do more of these books, and I went, like, "You know, you had a lifetime subscription once, and people paid hundreds of dollars, and you would get like a," and he said, "No, I did not." And then immediately someone went, "Oh, wait." And it was in the back of its book, and there was an ad for it. And it was like, "There it is." And, you know, he did a really shitty kind of apology to that. That was a non-apology. But it's like, yes, you did. And, you know,
if anyone was hurt by what I did.
Yeah. I'm sorry you felt. Yeah. A lot of that business. Anyway. So, in, you know, every so often he will come back and go like, "Hey, why don't you give me more money to finish the thing I promised I'd finish?"
Yeah.
So I looked him up once, and he was doing an atheist podcast, but video cast before podcasts.
Yeah.
I think like on a public access show. And so it's like him and another guy, one of those in front of a desk things, taking calls.
Yeah.
And someone going, "You know, Jesus really helped me in my life." No, he did not. And he'd be yelling people down. And he was exactly what you would stereotype.
Okay.
That kind of atheist.
The angry.
Yeah. And again,
the village atheist.
Yeah. And as like an agnostic, I wanted to kind of go, "Well, let me just sit down next to you and just go, this is not how you do it, brother. Like, I don't know what you're trying to achieve here. But whatever it is, it's not happening." Aside from maybe you just feeling better after yelling at people and calling them stupid.
Well, I, you know, it goes both ways. Obviously, there's crazy fundamentalist Christian types, and then there's crazy fundamentalist atheist types. And I guess
I was raised in the Catholic Church. I've been yelled at on both sides, I'm sure. Yeah,
understood. And I think you know, like, well, I prefer the middle. I'm more of the down the middle part of the down the middle of the road. But you know, each to his own. There's a guy at work who...
So God exists, but only, like, say, during the daytime. Then at night, God doesn't exist. So middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do whatever you want at night, folks.
I watch all my porn at night.
That's right.
That's when I get it done.
God can't see.
Okay, get it out of the way.
Here's the thing about God. God does not get the internet.
He does not understand it. He's too old.
He's like a dog. He can't see the screen.
You're trying to explain.
He just knows people. He knows emotions. Mm-hmm. But he can't see visual images. So watch what you want on TV.
Oh, no. It's not that. He's just so old. He doesn't get how it works.
Yeah.
You try to explain how Dropbox works to him. He doesn't get it.
Well, there's sometimes I remember, where you're at night and you're saying your prayers and you go, and "God, please bless my podcast." And God's like, "What's a podcast?" And you're like, "Oh, got to explain this." Well, it's like, "Do you know what a radio show is?" Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a computer radio show about computers. Listen, God, let's forget about all that. Just thank you for everything.
My book's coming out soon. And God said, "Lol." He thought it meant lots of love. Okay. I was gonna. This was veering in my mind to something.
Sure, and have a beer.
I can't remember where I was going with it. It's fine. You know what? Today I had to do a little errand for a work. Oh, I was gonna talk about another guy at work. I'm gonna talk about two people at work, but I'll talk about this other one because there's a person at work, and he's a Christian. He's become. It's strange. He's one of those people has become less and less Christian the longer I've known him.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know if work is like getting to him, but like when I first went there, he's the sort of person he went.
Well, you work at a heathen door store.
I work at a heathen door store. Well, I work at a place with people of all sorts. It's a mix. It's a bag of mixed licorice with different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me say this about licorice all sorts.
They're great.
They all taste the same. They all taste like licorice. Well, I say, you know, it takes all sorts. Yeah, but they all taste like licorice. So it really does not take all sorts.
Well, it seems like if you add black licorice to anything, you pretty much have overwhelmed all other flavors.
Even bridge mix is more variety than licorice all sorts. And that doesn't brag that it's all sorts.
Here's the thing. Licorice all sorts does have that one little kind of beaded, round cushion sort of thing.
Right.
Totally different than the rest of them. No, actually, you're right. It still tastes like black licorice. Forget it.
Okay, so your friend...
But when I first started working there...
Right.
And...
He's becoming less Christian every day. Came in with the yarmulke today.
That's right. When I first started working there, for some reason... Oh, because of my resume, Lisa had put my resume together. So she had put a lot of stuff about the church volunteer work that I'd done.
Oh, very good.
Because that looks good on your resume, I guess. I don't know. I feel like if you put stuff like that on it, you're pretty much asking for half the doors to be slammed in your face. But anyway, somehow I got around work that, oh, Dave's a Christian. So this guy comes over to me and he's like, and he says like, oh, so I hear that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. I thought he was being sarcastic. It seems so weird, right?
It is like, a weird thing to say.
And I was like, yeah, sort of. Like, I don't think of it, but okay.
He takes it personally, he makes it personal.
Yeah, it seems so weird. And then he's like, oh, no, I am too. And so, you know, and then I said, oh, I am. And he goes, amen, you know, or whatever. Like these sort of uncomfortable things that as a person who converted in my later part of my.
You don't know the handshake.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. These sort of things are weird to me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Come on. Get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Is that right?
But he's gotten less that way the longer that I've worked with him there. Like he's turned away from that.
In what way? How do you know?
Well, it's just that, yeah, he doesn't like talk about it the way he used to and say amen or and just things like that, right? Like he's just gotten less and less.
Were you both in a similar church?
I know. He's Pentecostal.
Okay.
Which is more the kind of...
So does he buy your rolling... church or does he...
No. My church is very bad. In fact, it's totally confusing to him and very weird to him that our priest is gay.
Okay. So how... Okay. Now, this is interesting to me. So he starts off going as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if someone's... if I'm on the bus with someone and a person... which is always a lady, ask me that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the right thing to say. I'm not sure the right thing to say, which is like, if I go, no, it feels like now I've got a conversation about that.
Yeah, yeah.
If I go, yes, I got a conversation that's about to happen. I don't know what's the stop, what do I say to make this just, no, but I'm good. Like I sort of do with all the points plans at right. like a bookstore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, have you got our fun read card? No, but I'm all right. I'm all right. Well, you saved $10 on this book today. I'm good. I'm fine. You know, as his Lord and Savior, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think I'm all right is probably a good,
I'm good.
No thanks. You're going to say no thanks.
Yeah.
That's what I said when.
I don't think that stops them, though. I don't think no thanks stops them. I'm trying to think what.
It worked for me a little while ago.
So. I'd like to throw a little something about like, no, but thank you. A little of that. Maybe a little thanks.
That's a good...
Thank you for trying to save my soul. I appreciate it. I understand what you're trying to do.
I don't think I have a soul to save, so I'm doing okay.
Or what have you. And maybe I do, but I also believe that if there is a God, that they will forgive me anyway, and it won't be a whole technicality thing.
Oh,
did you fill out the wrong form? Did you fill out the...
You're doomed.
Okay.
You're somewhere on the...
Then that means heaven.
You're in the seventh rung of the ladder.
Heaven's a bureaucracy, and I'd rather not be part of it. Right.
It's basically like Brazil.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people typing into typewriters that are sort of like computers. They haven't really updated. I told you, so it's an old place.
Once you got to heaven, it was really dusty. That'd be weird, right? Just like, oh, there's a lot of dust on this gate. No one's cleaned this place in a while.
Pearly gate.
Yeah.
It was a different color.
And Don Rickles is here now. Oh, he's just insulting everybody.
You hockey puck.
Oh, boy. He's been on Mary Magdalene for a long time. Let her go, man. Okay.
That's right.
Rest in peace. Funny man. Okay.
He was funny.
He was.
I enjoyed
one of the best.
I enjoyed his humor and also felt embarrassed by it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a friend who was saying that she went to one of his shows in Vegas and accidentally sat in the front row. And she was so scared. She didn't talk to her, but she was terrified.
He probably could see that she was ill at ease.
Mm-hmm.
He probably had like he probably knew who to get, you know. Like the one, I was watching the movie. I've never actually seen him. I was watching a movie about him.
Okay.
And there's a Japanese guy in the audience. Well, of course, World War II comes up and all this stuff, you know, like you're showing his age, basically.
Yeah.
And the Japanese guy.
He fought in World War II.
The Japanese guy is killing himself laughing.
He knows what's coming.
Yeah. So you're kind of.
You know what?
But I'm cringing.
Let me tell you something about this Japanese guy.
Yeah.
This is not a surprise attack. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a. There was a football coach who got really, really a lot of trouble for calling. He said, he described another team's play as a Jap play. Meaning it was a sneak play.
Uh-huh. Find a different, people, find a better way.
People weren't very happy with him for that one. He's not Don Rickles.
And apparently they were, I just found this out from an old World War II documentary. They were trying to attack Pearl Bailey. You know, they got it wrong. It's just so hard to read the English words.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
They didn't know where she was. She was like,
she was very lucky.
She was
to
a
have survived
secret.
That day.
The government was protecting her.
That's
they
right.
knew what was what. The whole Pearl Harbor thing was a front, you know.
D-Day was supposed to be Doris Day.
Yeah.
They're supposed to storm Doris.
Storm Doris Day.
We're having a giddy day, folks. Okay, so why is your friend a blasphemer now? Why is he?
I think he's just let work, like his work,
just wear him down a bit.
The secular, you know, currents at work.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, my question before was, when did you find out that he had he disagreed with your church because he had problems with?
Oh, yeah. I pretty much said it right away.
So he said, like, is your Lord and Savior Jesus? Yeah, hallelujah, brother. Now I've got some notes.
I got some notes for you. Are you there? No, I think it just came up one time, and I don't know why. Maybe someone else brought it up, whatever. And you know, I just came. You know, I was just like, well, it's whatever to me.
And so, with your priest being gay, mm-hmm. did he just say that's wrong, or did he go really?
He never said that to me.
He beat around the bush.
He never said that to me.
Okay,
but he has said that he thinks it's wrong, and he. You know, he quotes it and blah, blah, blah. He quotes from the Bible, which everyone loves to do.
The one verse.
The one verse.
The one verse.
Yeah.
And that's dodgy, that one.
Yeah.
It's a dodgy verse.
Well, the whole thing's dodgy. Like, if that's the only thing you're going to drag out of, mm-hmm. like, this giant book about, like, you know, it's not only full of that kind of garbage, but also it's full of, like, temple porn, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just full of, like, stuff about how gopher wood and all stuff about gopher wood, and you have to have this much size of a altar, and you have to have this stuff inlaid on it.
I thought there was a sexual thing you were talking about.
No, I just mean,
they can't say erections, so they just call it gopher wood.
I just mean there's, like, this huge part of that, of Deuteronomy, which is, I believe, or is it Leviticus, one of those ones, where it's just full of all these descriptions of what that the temple will be like when they can finally build a temple again. And it's just going to have all this great stuff, and it's going to look so cool. And I've been flipping through the IKEA catalog, and I found some great ideas for our temple. Like, is this really weird? Like, is this full of all this stuff, like all this kind of hopeful, one day we could have all this gopher wood. It'd be amazing. But so it's very strange. I don't know why people – well, the reason
have
people –
have you thought of, by the way, bringing that up to him when he's talking – you know, your priest should be gay. It's just like, and we need more gopher wood in these
exactly.
doors.
I do bring that up.
Oh, glorious gopher wood everywhere.
I do bring that because the fact is that this is the total hypocrisy of the fact that
– he's wearing polyester. It's a mixed blend.
Yeah, we've chosen things that are easy for us to not do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy for a person who's heterosexual to not be gay. So that's an easy thing to control about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Look how holy I am. I'm not gay. You know, that's very easy, you know. But then we just throw out all the hard stuff that makes it very difficult to, you know. So that's what, you know. So you choose these things. And that also people like to control other people. And so these are ways of controlling them, because you can control people's feelings and emotions, you know. That's what we want. We want to control people.
So right. And also, it always helps, you know, because life's a confusing mess. And so, you know, if you have an us and them, that makes it easier. And so it's like, you know who the problem is? Them.
Yeah.
You know who's dangerous? Them. Those that aren't like me, that's the dangerous ones. I bet they're going to come into a bathroom and stab me when I'm pooping. So they're dangerous.
It was actually another workmate who told me that he said this about our priest, that he's like, did you know that David's church, the priest is gay? I guess the priest said no, because why would I know that? But, and he says, it's so weird, like, that would be, like, they would let that happen. And I'm like, well, it's like the greatest thing that happened to our church, by the way, so.
Oh, he's been, like, really
great. Oh, he's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, we just did, he writes his own, he, like, writes a lot of music. So he writes, like, worship music. It's fantastic to sing, like, these
Here's why
wonderful songs.
Let me tell you why I'm laughing right now.
Don't laugh at me.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Barry Manilow. Because Barry Manilow came out of the closet this week,
mm-hmm.
at 73.
Yeah,
said publicly that he's gay, that he's married,
mm-hmm.
and
he's been married for a long time, right?
Oh yeah, quite a while,
over 30 years.
Yeah, not the biggest secret in the world, but
no,
but you know, he's publicly finally come out.
Yeah,
and my take on it was like, that doesn't bother me, but what bothers me the most about Barry Manilow is the song "I Write the Songs." He did not write that song.
No.
He's written a lot of songs.
Yeah.
He's written an incredible
He didn't write
amount of
Mandy either.
It's fine. I don't care. Mandy doesn't say I wrote the song. But the song, I Write the Songs,
yes.
He did not write that song.
Do you know who wrote that song?
I did, and out Peter something?
No.
Who?
Bruce Johnston.
Okay, fair
who
enough.
Who was in the Beach Boys and wrote that song about Brian Wilson.
Well, fine. That's great.
There you go.
But when he's singing...
That's a little trivia for you folks out there.
That's a really good bit of trivia, but it does bug me that he didn't write the song, I wrote the song. I write the songs. That's...
Well,
it's like if I sang a song and my song was this. This song was written by me. I sat down and I wrote this song. And someone else wrote that song?
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck me then. That's terrible of me. Boo. Boo on me. But
well,
he did write
you know who didn't
the
care?
McDonald's theme song.
Yes,
so that's
true.
Right. You Deserve a Break Today.
That's right.
That was written by Barry Manilow. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you like that? I'm stuck on Band-Aids. Band-Aids stuck on me. Barry Manilow. You know what he didn't write? I write the songs.
Bunch of homophobes who now can't wear Band-Aids.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't. Everyone go, that's symbolic for being gay. Especially if you had a rainbow band-aid. And you can't go to McDonald's.
Can't go to McDonald's either.
Breakfast served all day. You know what that means.
Garbage?
Nope. Now they're a bi-mealy. There's no separation of the meals.
Can't think of anything either. I can't think of anything better than bi-mealy, and that wasn't much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I say, as it says in the Bible, Egg McMuffin shall not lay with French fries, for it is an abomination
unto the Lord. And that French fry shall be taken out and stoned. Yeah.
No, you are stoned if you go for the French fries and the Egg McMuffin.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's a strange thing. The other workmate-related thing today, one of the guys, he just bought a car. He bought it at a used car lot.
I'm just going to back up real fast because we're going to skip over your friend again.
Okay.
And then let me just say this. Because, again, some of you might have picked up this signal. Okay. I'm a guy who is having a lot of problems with my Christianity. And I think it's a real shame that your priest is gay. That bothers me a lot that your priest is gay. Hey, everybody. Encyclopedia Brown just figured something out about this guy. Have you figured it out, too? Let's flip the book upside down and see what it is. Ah, okay. I write the songs that make the... Back to your other person.
So he bought a car.
Okay.
And he traded in his car when he bought this car. His old car. His car from 1997. He traded it in. And they didn't want it. But they said, okay, we'll take a couple $100 off this car you're buying and we'll just take this car from you.
Okay.
And throw it in the garbage can.
Sure.
He's like, okay, that sounds fine. Because he didn't want to have to go through the trouble of trying to sell a really old car that didn't work that
great. No one likes 1997. It was a terrible year. Nothing good happened in that year.
I can't remember anything happening good that year.
Nothing did.
Eh.
That's why you can't remember it.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, was one of your daughters born?
Yeah, Steve was born that year.
There we go.
Fuck you.
No, not me, sir. You jumped on that wagon real fast.
Oh, dear. Okay. Luckily, she doesn't listen to podcasts. So they just, you know, he climbed out of the car that he, you know, left that car there, got into his new car, and drove home. Then he realized he'd forgotten some items that were very dear to him in his old car.
Okay.
And so he phoned them and asked them if they could please take them out of the car, and he would come and pick them up. And the car was already gone, but they went and got them for him and brought them back to this dealership, which was nice of them. Yeah, very nice of them.
Throw a couple of bucks their way. That's what I'd do.
You know what? I should have and then charged him. Because what happened is he asked, since I was coming downtown, he asked if I wouldn't mind stopping there today and picking them up.
Okay.
Which I did. I popped in.
Okay. The other thing to do, I would say, with that car dealership, throw a nice little Yelp review at them. Go, hey, you know, listen, I made this mistake. They were kind enough to do this.
Yeah.
So thumbs up to them for that.
I'll mention that to him because he should do that. And so I went to this park. I went to this place. I've actually never been to a like downtown used car lot before in my life.
Mm.
Because when you go to a downtown used car lot, the first thought you have is, how do they move these cars around? Because it is literally, there's no room. Like I can't even imagine how the cars ended up where they are. Like it would take, like if you went there and you said, I would like to look at this car, it would probably take them 20 minutes to dig the car out because they'd have to move like five or six cars out of the way. Like they'd have to back cars up out of the lot onto the street and then move other cars onto the street and then move that car out and then move the other cars back in. And oh, what a thing. I should have just pretended I was interested in the car rather than coming to pick that stuff up.
They probably have a way.
Oh, I'm sure. Well,
I'm sure they have a way.
Well, there was a place, I don't know if you remember the Volkswagen dealership that was up Main Street, and it had these like elevators that the cars would back onto and it would lift them up in the air. And that was really cool. This place doesn't have that. It just has like the most squished together, like one of those kind of puzzles, like those tile puzzles you had when you were a kid and you have to like move, you had one space and you'd move the tile around to try and figure it out. That's what it was like there. And then I also learned that I am basically a teenager when it comes to cars. Because I saw this.
You just want to have sex in them.
But that's like everything. But the other thing, it was just like, there's a car there. It was a Hyundai and it had orange. It was like kind of a gunmetal gray, but then it had orange highlights on it and then orange hubcaps.
Mm.
And I just fell in love with that car. It was manual, little manual sports car. And I was just like, oh man, if I had like...
How much was it going for?
2160 something right there. Okay. 21,600, like 21,688. That's the price. There you go. And I thought, you know, I'd get that down. Probably get that down to 19. And I still can't afford it. But that's, you know, it's be an awesome car to drive. Okay. But pretty much, you know...
By the way, any listeners out there that have an extra $20,000 want to get Dave a car...
No one has that. No one has that money.
Look, we have literally dozens of listeners.
Yes.
Odds are one of them's a millionaire.
Well...
Maybe two. And if there's two of them, odds are one of those is an eccentric millionaire. Maybe someone who wants to just like throw their money around, feel like a big shot.
Okay.
Well, let me just tell you this. If you got $20,000...
Yeah.
And you want to throw it Dave's way. Dave, do you promise if someone gives you $20,000, you're not going to spend it on candy? You're actually going to spend it on this car?
I promise.
You promise.
Yeah.
Dave promises. So if you supply us, our patron is on our webpage, SneakyDragon.com, patron button.
Patreon.
Patreon. Sorry about that. Patreon. give us $20,000. I won't take any of it. Dave will spend it on the car, and then he will take a variety of sexy photos with him leaning on the car. Because maybe this eccentric millionaire is attracted to you and doesn't know how to express that and realizes you're happily married, realizes that there's you know, there's barriers there and respects the barriers. But if you did like a little pose in a leather jacket leaning against the car or just you checking on the engine or something like that, $20,000. $20,000 Dave buys this car.
Am I wearing cutoff shorts while I'm doing this?
Look, brother, that's up to you.
Okay.
Okay, for $25,000, Dave will wear cutoff shorts, bending over, checking the engine, checking the fluids. And I don't mean the car. No, I do mean the car. So there we go. Let's not make this weird. $20,000, sensible, Dave wearing a leather jacket, checking out the car. We'll buy the car. Okay, please continue.
My face is red from I just warm from blushing.
Yes.
I'm just totally red.
But not warm enough that you didn't suggest wearing cutoff shorts. You brought that up.
I did bring that up. I did. I was trying to figure out what the parameters were, what I was expected to do here. Like how.
I know. Well, don't go right to the cutoff shorts. Let them bring that up.
I guess I shouldn't.
Yeah. Because then there's no negotiating.
You're right.
From that point on.
I'm a terrible negotiator, by the way. If I went and bought that car.
Yeah. You'd be wearing cutoff shorts for negotiating.
And I would go in there. The car is $21,688. And I would come out of there paying $21,900. No lie.
Okay.
And the goal is to get it down to 19 plus taxes, but I don't think I could do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a very good negotiator.
I think you got to go in with your handkerchief and occasionally like cough a little bit of blood into it.
That's
and
right.
Like Moulin Rouge it.
I'm not long for this world.
Yeah.
I have consumption.
I have one dream to be in this car for under $20,000.
Does anyone ever read Camille anymore?
Is that where that's from?
Do you remember in the Looney Tunes? This is bringing back cartoons. This is a callback to last week. But the Looney Tunes book parody cartoons where they'd have like a bunch of books on a bookshelf and the Thin Man and blah blah blah. There was always
Camille. Wrong because the Thin Man wasn't the thin detective. Man. The Thin Man was
they always had Camille. I believe that's what it was called. It was a book about, you know, with the sort of cough thing and I've never seen that book, and I've always wondered like what if that book must have been like all the rage at some time in the past.
Sure. Probably open it up. It's got a little blood in it. I'm like, hey, it's nice.
Yeah.
I watched the final Thin Man movie. The other night, it was on Turner Classic Movies.
Okay.
Forget what the name of it was.
It's kind of like your fifth donut.
Yeah, I've only seen the first and the last, so I'm watching it James Bonding style. I have to work my way to the middle. But Dean Stockwell was in it as their son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they had a pretty hilarious, it's not great, but they had a hilarious scene I'm going to ruin now for you.
Okay. I've seen them all, so that's
okay.
Fine.
It was the kid, and so, you know, he does something wrong, and mom is, you got to spank him. And dad's, yes. I don't want to spank him. It's like,
who plays the mom? Mary Astor? Is that?
No.
Now I put it out of your head, right?
Yeah, I put it out of my head.
Sorry, go on.
Myrna something, maybe? Am I wrong? No. We'll look it up. But anyway, Dean Stockwell is now over the fella's knee. And he's got his hand up, and he's about to spank him. Oh, he's not spanking with his hand. He's spanking him with a rolled-up newspaper. And he looks down at the boy's butt, and then a fantasy scene begins in the boy's butt. There's an image that shows, and it's him being born, or like he's handing out the cigars to all the people. It's like, oh, I can't hit him. And it's like, and the wife is like, all right, rails up again. And then the next one is like them playing together.
Myrna Loy.
I don't know why. There you go. And they're playing together. He sees this image in the boy's butt again.
Yeah.
He can't do it. There's nothing he can do. And he looks up at the wife, and the wife is, it's like, all right, whale's back again. And then there's an image, and he's teaching him how to ride a bike. And he's teaching him how to ride the bike, and the kid can't quite do it. He's like, I'll show you, son. And gets on the bike, and then he drives into a tree and goes ass over tea kettle. And then the kid's laughing at him, and then you fade back, and he just starts wailing on the bike. Remembering this memory of his son laughing at him. And he walks away just rubbing his butt. Like, that's how you do a hilarious spanking scene back then.
Yeah, that's when a time when people would laugh at a spanking scene and wouldn't go, is it right I'm laughing at spanking?
No, back then it was fine. You could punch a kid in the face. Everyone would have a good time. Everything was fine. But yeah, it was weird seeing Dean Stockwell doing that. He did something. There was another movie he did that was like a really famous movie.
The Boy with the Green Hair.
No.
He is in that movie.
He may
the border boy whose hair turns green. It's like an anti-war film. I've never really understood what the hell's going on.
Right. There's another one, though, that's like a very famous movie that he's in, that he was in just before that one.
Oh.
But yeah, he's a good kid actor, and he was a good Weisenheimer who was just like constantly like looking at the paper just trying to solve murders. And was like, yeah, this is all right. This kind of kid would be annoying a lot of times. But
yeah.
No, he's fine. And good long career with that guy. Good on him, Dean Stockwell. A tip of the hat to you.
He has had a good long career.
Mm-hmm.
People would, when he was in Blue Velvet, people made sort of a fuss that he's in Blue Velvet, but I had no idea who he was, you know. But he was a friend of Neil Young's. Like after the Gold Rush, that great song by Neil Young was written, was supposed to accompany as a soundtrack to a movie that Dean Stockwell was working on.
Oh, cool!
That was titled, I believe, After the Gold Rush. It was kind of a climate change movie, like a kind of ecological disaster movie that he was working on.
Okay.
And you're looking up
I'm looking up Dean Stockwell right now, trying to see what that first movie of his was.
And I think that he is in like Human Highway, which was a movie that Neil Young made. He's probably someone who like got to a certain point in his career and then decided just to have fun, you know.
Yeah.
And then got to a certain point in his career and realized that he was having so much fun that his career was disappearing, and so he had to kind of get his acting gear.
Yeah, that could very well be. Yeah.
You know, the 60s were a lot of fun. I think he was kind of part of that American International crowd of like...
That's what it was. Oh, it was another movie that was on like just before, which is Anchors Away.
Oh, that's right. He's in Anchors Away with Gene Kelly.
That's right.
And that woman in that film, Anchors Away, I had to tape it or PVR it a little while ago, because I wanted Eve to see the lipstick, the way the lady wore the lipstick in the film.
Mm.
And that lady's beautiful in that
movie. I haven't seen it in a while. I've actually just taped it recently because it was on again.
Well, watch it because one of her house is great. She's got like the greatest house. I just love her, the bungalow she lives in. But also she has this really interesting lipstick style. In it.
Explain.
It's very thick. It's very like prominently lipstick. Almost like she's doing a... Who's that girl who does the heaters back off?
Oh, yeah.
You know who I mean, right?
Yeah, Miranda Sings.
Miranda Sings, yeah. Similar, but not quite, not that level of, you know, horribly put on. But just a kind of overly done, like to kind of make your lips look a bit bigger than they are.
Hmm.
And it's very interesting. Like Eve thought it was interesting.
And it's
as well.
Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra who were also in...
On the Town?
New York, New York. That's it's on, a heck of town. A town.
Yeah.
We've got the suits, so let's just keep wearing them. Keep wearing our Navy suits.
But I think Anchors Away was before...
All right.
On the Town. And On the Town was from a stage play, and Anchors Away was not.
And Anchors Away had the third guy, who I can't remember the name of him, that was in it.
Who's also in On the Town?
Yeah, he's in... not in Anchors Away. Sorry, he's in On the Town. There's Gene Kelly, Frank Sinatra, and then the third guy.
Third guy, who was also... Because then they did another film, Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra, where they're baseball players in doing their spring training in Florida. And romantic hijinks ensue with a lot of singing.
Yeah, very good.
And some songs. Or in some dancing. And I can't remember what that one's called. Sorry.
On the Town is a good film. Watch that film.
On the Town is one of the greatest musicals ever made, by the way.
Yeah.
I almost
and
like
good
it.
Good female characters in that. And you don't get, you get some, but like there's...
The wonderful Legs and Miller.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I forget who the name of the actress who was the taxi cab driver who's just trying to like get it on with Frank Sinatra
yeah,
and
yeah.
does through the whole thing. It's just like, come on up to my place. Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. We should be fucking right now. It's just like, okay. Just like
pretty much yeah. like that. Yeah.
And then you get to situations that
it's a very adult film.
Yeah, you get to situations where you go like, in another movie, they'd really be playful with this.
Yeah.
So they get up, they finally like she invites him up to her room.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, let's see, or to her apartment.
And he's a real bookish nerd. So he wants to actually see New York. She just wants to drive him in her cab home.
Spend some time with him. So because that was when Frank Sinatra was the handsomest man alive. The whole thing was like, scream, Frankie. So invites him up, but uh-oh, her roommate's here, and she's got a cold. And she wants a cold in her nose, and she's...
But another great character actress from that time period.
But she's like the kind of unattractive from then, which is like, how could you ever?
Yeah.
So, but like, oh, well, I guess that's the end of that. And she just goes, get out! And she's like, get the hell out of here, and shoves her out the door and like gives her some money. And she's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to go. Because we got sex to do.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, any other movie now, you'd have another thing come in, like a squirrel would run in or the place would catch on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope. Next time we've seen them, they have clearly had sex. Yes. And just like, yeah, that's the way it's going to go.
There's another scene in the film where they're in a museum and Ann Miller's singing the song about how she likes
primitive man.
And then she goes, a man in bearskin. Ooh, I love a man in bearskin.
Yeah.
And it's just this great little moment in the song, and you're like, oh, wow.
They go to the history museum, and they see a caveman there who looks just like the guy.
That's right.
And then she's like,
Jules. His first name is Jules. I really feel like looking it up, but
family Jules is his name.
He had a Jewish last name, and I wish I could think of it now. But
right, it is a sexy movie where the ladies know what they want and they get it.
Yeah,
and it's like it's all right.
And it has that famous sequence of meeting on the Empire State Building between Betty Hutton and Gene Kelly,
which
was then taken for that movie with Tom Hanks and
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
Which was also, it was a remake. No, there was another movie that got remade as Sleepless in Seattle, basically. But it's not An Affair to Remember. It's something other.
Love Story?
No, not Love Story. But it's some other movie where, they're going to meet
Love Affair?
There.
Holiday? Oh, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. But the other thing about that, so you get the nerdy woman who's the, I got a cold in my nose. And you're like, all right. She would be dismissed in any other movie as this uggo, take a walk. So, but they play her in the movie like, we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
But then over time, they become friends with her too. And she actually gets a nice little scene that's a little tender at the end too. And it's like, good for you guys.
Yeah.
And then they actually end it really, really strong.
Yeah.
You know, with a good good bit of like the new shift is coming in and they're going back to the ship.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
who knows what's going to happen with them. Doesn't matter. We just followed them for a day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a fantastic.
Very, very, very
day and
good
night.
Film.
But day and night.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic film. It's Leonard Bernstein, musical score. So it wrote a lot of songs. And then the utility crew came in. Like, it was an Arthur Freed film. Now, Arthur Freed was a producer at MGM, and he was started off as a songwriter. In fact, Singing in the Rain is basically a celebration of the songs that Arthur Freed wrote with his writing partner, whose name escapes me now. Sorry, everyone. And so Freed went from being a songwriter to started working as a producer at MGM, and then took over sort of this what was called the Arthur Freed unit, and he just kind of gathered like the most talented arrangers and musicians and songwriters and screenwriters and created these wonderful films like On the Town, Singing in the Rain, Anchors Away, and tons more, where they just had this perfect Bandwagon, another one. Like, there's so many great films. Like, and you know, they worked together. There's a guy, Roger Eden, his name was, who was like this great song arranger and a great vocal coach, and really, you know, got the, and then, Kay Thompson, who wrote the Eloise book. She was another woman who was like a vocal trainer. And then, I wish I could think of the people who wrote a lot of the scripts, Green and, sorry guys. My mind is blank, but something Green and someone else who wrote like Singing in the Rain, all and they punched up. They would take, you know, it's a thing like On the Town, which was a stage play, and punch it up and make it suitable for the screen, you know. And unlike later films where they were doing like Oklahoma and The Music Man, which pretty much they just took Lock, Stock, and Barrel and just kind of dropped into a film, and it doesn't work as well as those ones where they adapted and kind of changed a little bit to make them more of a movie musical than a stage musical. Those are wonderful. I love all those films. One of my favorites is Meet Me in St. Louis with Judy Garland. That movie is just fantastically
great. In Anchors Away, do the same thing which they did in Singing in the Rain and On the Town, where you have basically the third act as a fantasy sequence. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing with that?
Yeah. Well, American in Paris as well does that as well.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like that's the gimmick that people...
Because Gene Kelly really loved dance, so he wanted to present it in this...
Yeah.
Kind of uninterrupted way, like they have a big dance sequence.
It's almost a movie in a movie.
They also do it in The Bandwagon as well, where they have that gangster kind of Fantasia gangster dance sequence mm-hmm. with the great Sid Charisse and Fred Astaire. That's a wonderful sequence as well.
Whereas like Music Man is more like a Guys and Dolls or something like that.
It's good
numbers.
It's a stage thing.
Yeah, it's a stage thing.
Yeah,
so but we're expanding and showing it what it would be like in the real world. Mm-hmm, so we got a real street that this is coming down instead of on stage where we'd be like hinting at what things look like.
It's not quite as great. It's not quite as great as something like Meet Me in St. Louis or where it's been structured as a film and it has the three acts that build to the... have you ever seen Meet Me in St. Louis?
Nope.
I highly recommend that film.
Very good. I am a fan of musicals.
I'm glad to hear that. Judy Garland and that's pretty much, she's really the star of that film. Like her first kind of big, not her first big vehicle, but as a giant musical production, all color, and this great film about living in St. Louis just as they're going to have the World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting the news that their dad's been transferred to New York and they're going to have to move. And it's just great. It's just basically at the Four Seasons. And it has this most terrifying Halloween sequence you'll ever see. Like, it's just so, it makes you wonder, like, how did anyone survive out? Like, when, you know, it's just like, and, but it feels real. It feels like that's what it really was like. They did really burn a pile of furniture in the middle of the street and kids just ran wild for a night and had tons of crazy fun. And yeah, it's a great film. I highly recommend it, everyone.
Is there a musical that you could see yourself ever doing yourself?
No, because I'm not, I have none of those talents.
You can sing.
I can sing a little bit, but not like those guys.
You're not Gene Kelly. I get it. Yeah. But like, if you had the thing, would there be a musical that you would like go, boy, that'd be a fun one to do?
Like redo or do?
Just do like a stage production. It's like you could do a stage production and they're going to do a musical. You know, what would you?
Well, you answer first. Let me think about it. Because if you have something, do you have something in mind?
That is a good question.
you asked it. Because I'm just wondering what you mean.
You know,
like,
I just wonder if like you have any, you know, when you see one of those, like, oh, that looks like that'd be fun. That'd be a fun, fun thing to do. I'd like to do.
Okay, well, I would love to do the make him laugh.
I like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers because it's crazy ass.
I wouldn't
mind being in.
It's okay. It's an okay film.
It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Man can't sleep when you sleep with sheep. Yeah, just nuts.
I do like
sobbing, sobbing.
I like the barn raising dance sequence. Mm-hmm. That's very good. But
and I would like to at some point sing Edelweiss on stage. I like to. I could go for being the captain in a Sound of Music situation. I always thought that the young Nazi boy, he's got a good part. You get a good number, and then you get to like just sleep for the rest of the film, and then come back at the end and have a little bit of something, and then you're good.
Well, if I was in a musical, I would love to do the make him laugh sequence. Like that would be that would be my like dream sequence.
Because you couldn't do it like he does it, so you'd have to find your own bits.
Yes.
So that'd be an interesting challenge.
It would be fun. I think that would be a fun thing to do. I just like the physicality of it. I couldn't do it now, but if I could. You know, all those guys, I mean, like, those sort of talents, I mean, there are people now who can dance very well, but those guys went through, like, torture. Like, they went through, like, 15 years of vaudeville. You know, they, like, went town to town and danced every night or did two shows a day.
Was always the thing when you saw something like Michael Jackson. And you go, like, that guy's really good. Like, you just see the things.
Yeah.
And you go, that's fantastic. Let's break down all of those stunts he just did.
Yeah.
And then you take it back and go, like, and the Ritz Brothers did this, and they did this, and they did this. And, like, everything that he's done has been done before. He just repackaged it in Motown.
Did you say Ritz Brothers?
Maybe wrong.
Yeah, the Ritz Brothers were a comedy team.
Oh, fuck. What am I thinking about?
But I know you're thinking about I know what brothers you're thinking.
You know what brothers I'm talking about. Sorry about the Ritz Brothers. They made crackers. I apologize, everybody.
Their movies were crackers.
There you go.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I'm trying to think of what their names were.
The two dancing brothers. They're insanely good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was a lot of good dancers from that time because, once again, they also went through vaudeville. They were on the colored circuit, but they went through vaudeville.
And you're like, they probably were the best, but there was at least 10 other, you know, groups that could do this.
Yeah.
This is not non-standard.
And that's one of the saddest parts of the you know, the whitewashing. I don't want to, it's not really whitewashing, but the fact that, that black actors didn't have the same opportunities to perform the way that white actors, the way the white dance singers and dancers did in that time period, unless they could kind of pass like Lena Horne. But most of them, you know, most of them are just cut out. Like there are some films like Hell's a Poppin' and a few other films that feature like some really crazy colored dancers doing their thing. But, you know, like most films, they just, and it wasn't that, and the problem is that kind of, that sort of prejudice isn't a reflection of Hollywood. It's a reflection of the audience, who the audience is, that Hollywood is trying to sell their films to. Mm-hmm. Because they, you know, if they can exploit someone and make money off them, they don't care. They don't care what color or whatever. They don't care. As long as you're making money, that they're fine with that. But if the audience is going to react against it, then they're not going to sell it. And the fact is that it was too sensitive to try to sell those movies in the South, let's say, for Hollywood to want to just even take the chance. You might get a featured part in a you know, singing or dancing or whatever in a movie, but you never get a starring role in it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's too bad because there's tons of great, hugely talented dancers that we just will never see. You know, they're dancing and, you know, or we'll see a little bit of it, but not as much as they could have done. You know?
Yeah.
So it is too bad. And this is the horrible reality of, and then the horrible reality of the fact that nowadays no one cares about musicals. So there's all these tons of people that, who can love to dance and want to dance for us, and no one wants to see it.
Well, I mean, La La Land did okay.
But wasn't even a movie.
But it was a musical.
It was a musical, only the people who acted in the film were popular actors who could bring the money to make a movie like that, but were not actors.
The opening scene clearly had like dancers.
I did not like the opening scene, but it's true.
You didn't?
I did not.
Oh, I love the opening scene.
Because it was a Broadway opening. It wasn't a movie musical opening. So when you make a movie musical for me, I'm like, I want to see a movie musical. And then you make a Broadway musical, I'm like,
what's
less
the
interested.
What's the difference?
Because a Broadway musical, it's hard to explain, but a Broadway musical, it puts the story in song. In a movie musical, it puts emotions in song.
Okay.
So when a character is excited or elated or sad or whatever, they will express that in song in the movie. It very rarely does it move the plot along. Whereas in a Broadway musical, the music is part of the plot. So you will sing the plot as part of, you know, so if you have a Les Mis or a Saturday in the Park with George or whatever, Sunday in the Park with George, you will advance parts of the story in your music.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do you see that in movie musicals. Most of the time, the songs are there as a set piece, as a funny moment, or as a, like, you know, it's just...
Well, what did you think that the piece at the opening of La La Land did?
It tries to bring you into the story of the film by telling you the story of various characters that you'll never see again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of a big opening, like it's sort of the James Bond of musical openings, right? So you have the cold opening of people, a bunch of people you never see again, you know, just sort of dancing around and stuff like that. And sort of almost excuse for the fact that maybe just like saying, well, I know that we have hired actors with two left feet to play the dancers and singers in this film. So this part of the movie is going to have some really great, you know, people riding bikes over cars and no one gets mad at them for some reason. And
it's a musical. So yeah.
But yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, so it's just sort of strange. It just doesn't work for me.
To me, why it worked.
I need emotion.
You didn't think there was emotion in that?
Not to me. Like there's nothing, I'm not feeling anything. Like someone's singing, they're telling me they're feeling emotion.
Uh-huh.
But you know, if you think of On the Town, those guys come running off a boat and we know why they're excited. Because they're on shore leave,
and we're following them,
and we're going to follow them.
We're following them.
That's right.
I think what they did with La La Land with that opening is, and again, I think it's a good song.
I did like the song as well. So
okay, all right. But I think what they showed with that was you see a traffic jam, and that's what LA is. When you see LA, you think there's traffic jams, and say okay. But then one person breaks out, one other person breaks out, another breaks out, and they all start singing, and then you get the thing they're all singing in the same way and doing the same thing, and you're like, oh, they all have the same dream. Everyone here is almost interchangeable. They all have the same dream and it doesn't really matter. And then to me, this is my symbolism, was when we follow Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, it's like we could be following anybody and it doesn't matter because we're just going to pick these two. Let's go.
Yeah.
And what they do doesn't really affect anything.
Mm.
You know, they just have that same dream and that's kind of the way the movie plays it out. It's just like, yeah, and it didn't work out, or it did work out, or maybe it did, and if this person was there and they took them out, there'd be another person, and there you go, and it's interchangeable, and they all have the same dream, and this, and more will be coming into LA with the same dream, and more will be having the heartbreak,
yeah.
And there you go, and that's what it is. But we just happen to pick these two randomly, because every one of them can do this shit.
Pick these two big stars randomly.
Yeah, are they very are these two special? Yeah, they're okay, but yeah. they could, I could have picked that girl who was dancing on top of the car, and I could have picked that guy with the bike,
yeah.
And we would have had like a musical too. You know, it's fine. You know, and so it's, yeah, there you go. That's what the dream is. You know,
I see your point. I didn't like it, but then
that's fair enough. Did not win the Academy Award, so other people felt the same way. But when you're talking about the non-popularity of musicals, I mean, you get something like Glee that like was very successful. Mm-hmm. You got, you know, it's not the biggest hit right now, but Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's on its third season. That's you good. Know, so they're not cop rock.
It's not a musical, but yeah.
It's a musical.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is a musical?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have like 3 to 4 musical numbers every episode.
Oh, really? Oh, yep. I didn't realize it was that many. Okay. I thought it was like one feature.
No, they have one that's like a big spectacular one, but then there's others through it.
Cool. Well, that's interesting. Well, maybe that's the place for musicals now is in is on television.
Or in random episodes of The Flash.
There you go. Random episodes of Buffy. Yeah, I just, and I mean, to me, Les Mis and stuff like that, I thought
That didn't seem necessary for...
It doesn't seem... Well, it's just that, you know, they're stage things that are popular, so they just think, well, we can make that into a... You know, like what's great about La La Land is the idea that I'm going to like build a movie musical from the ground up, you know. Mm-hmm.
And use the musical format to show something about, you know, dreams and what it's all about.
He needed a friend that wasn't John Legend. He needed a friend who could dance really well. And so we could get like a fantastic dance sequence in the film. Like something like that. Like a friend who's like, you know, he's in love with this girl and they're having problems or whatever, and then they resolve it or they don't resolve it, and there's like a sad dance sequence or a happy dance sequence or whatever, like a great dance sequence like Sid Charisse and Fred Astaire and Bandwagon in Central Park, or Gene Kelly, you know, going down the street in the rain after declaring his love for Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, it feels
something
like
that, where it's just an emotional moment in the film.
What you've got, I think, right now is you've got two different types of films and TV shows. You got your Glees, which can then translate into movies as your Pitch Perfects, you know. But then you've also got the this is not the name of it all. Step on it, but you know, step on up, step over there, bring it to step
up.
Or over there,
step up, isn't it?
By the way, the thing I think it is step up, something like that. Oh, this, I feel terrible because there's been many of these movies. Mm-hmm. There's been at least like
the first one was really good.
There's been like at least 4 of these movies.
I had to go see it because I have daughters.
Well, let me tell you, I have to go see it because it happened basically across the street from me. If you look out this window at Hell Kitty Studios, not going to say exactly where we're located, but there's a dance studio over there, and when we watched the fourth Step Up movie, we were looking into our windows when they're in the dance studio.
Cool.
Like, hey, that's our, am I working today? What's going on? So I identify with that. But what they haven't done,
if it's during the day, then no.
Yeah, they haven't taken the Pitch Perfects and they haven't taken the Step Ups and put them together, because no one really dances in the Pitch Perfects.
It's not a true movie.
Yeah, musical. And no one really sings in the Step Ups. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, well, this seems obvious. Jam these together. You've got yourself a musical, but no one's put that together. They've separated these, which is odd.
That's a good point. I like Pitch Perfect. I like the first Pitch Perfect. I thought it was a good film.
Yeah, it is a good film. For the first Step Up's fine too. The dancing's great, and they show a bunch of different styles, and it's totally fine.
Yeah, and the people who are in it could really dance well. Like
hey Hollywood.
Hey Hollywood,
get on this.
Answer my wishes and return the movie musical to its former glory. Mm-hmm. They're expensive to do, though. I think that's why the Arthur Freed unit eventually kind of broke down and stuff. And also, things break down over time because there's talented people, and then they get poached by other. People will go, oh, well, this person's part of this very successful thing. I will take that man or woman, and I will translate them into, you know, into this different thing. I'll make a production unit around them, and then they'll be as good. But you're diluting your talent, and you're not going to have as good a product.
Well, I mean, there seems like there's infinite shows on TV now that are your American Idol and your Voices and whatever, and so you think you can dance.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, pick some people out of that and sort of just jam it all up and stupid.
But so you think you can dance? It's not. It's more of a stunt thing, isn't it? It's just like football players and
right, which is this, but the but
pulling their hamstrings.
But then what you want to do then is you want to take a couple of those stunt things and make those very short little numbers in your musical. And you're like, oh, what the hell? The football players all just start doing a musical number. And like, what? Didn't expect that. You're focused on the cheerleaders and you're thinking they're going to do something. And then all of a sudden the football players do a number. You go, ah, that's amusing. Back to the cheerleaders.
I guess High School Musical would be the only one I can think of that's like a true kind of movie musical in the sense that
had a whole bunch of sequels.
Yeah. The second one's the best one.
Okay. This is something I literally cannot argue with you on.
Good. Don't.
Why has there never been a college musical? Have they never gone to college? Or do we just stay on the same high school? But that's my question. Are they in the same high school all the time?
No, I can't remember now. It's been a while. I remember is that the second one is one I enjoyed the most out of the three.
I'm trying to think of the last hugely
When we went to Disneyland in 2006, I think it was, they had like this High School Musical parade. And we had never heard of it. Because it never had played, I guess, on Family Channel or whatever up here. And so we're like, what is this thing that's so popular? So when we finally had a chance to see it, then we're like, oh, okay, that's popular.
I think given the chance, it's weird because you get something like the two guys from South Park, and they do your
What are their names?
Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Trey Parker, yeah, that's very good, very good.
Because he is so Trey Parker.
Trey.
But, you know, they do your Team America, and it's fine, and they mm-hmm. have a hard time doing it, and they complain forever about how hard it was. But there's some okay musical numbers in that.
Yeah.
And then they go, fuck it. Let's just do a Broadway thing, do the Book of Mormon, and that becomes the biggest thing that year. Huge, enormous. And then you got, what's the biggest thing on Broadway? It's your Hamiltons. Mm. There you go. That's enormous. It's crazy popular.
That's Broadway musical, though. It's not the same.
How is it not the same?
They're different. Movie musicals and Broadway musicals are two different things.
In what way?
I already explained it. They just tell the stories differently.
No, you said like, okay, wait. When you were saying the difference between a Broadway musical and a Hollywood musical.
Yeah.
But there have been Broadway musicals that that have been brought to the screen that mm-hmm. worked, that still
Such
got
as?
That Broadway.
Such as?
That's a very good question. Sound of Music. There.
It wasn't a Broadway musical.
Wasn't it?
No.
Was it that first?
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
how about Grease? Was Grease Broadway first?
I don't think so. I think it was just a movie musical.
Okay. How about Godspell?
Godspell was a play, yes.
Okay. Yay! Not much dancing in Godspell, to be honest, though.
And it's an okay film.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great.
It's okay.
Has a Gwen Good song, Day by Day.
And when you find out who the big cast was in Toronto doing it, you see this cast and go,
hey, wait a second.
You got Victor Garber, and I got nothing against Victor Garber, but come on.
Wasn't Victor Garber in the original one?
Yeah. He was in the one.
Oh, but you mean they didn't have the rest of the cast?
That's right. In Toronto, the Toronto cast that was Eugene Levy, Martin Short, Gilda Radner, Paul Schaefer. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple others in there that you're just like, what the what?
Yeah.
You know, if you had them in the Godspell,
yeah,
we'd be seeing that on TV all the time.
It has a great ending, that movie, though.
Yes.
That is a great ending.
Without spoiling it, yes. Unless you want to spoil it.
Well, unless people want to watch it.
Spoil it. Go for it. Well, start with how it starts, and that because you need. That
I don't actually know how it starts. I can't remember now.
Oh, it starts it's just in New York.
Yeah,
and it's all these people who are doing their day jobs, working as waitresses.
Yeah,
Taking dry cleaning down the street.
Okay,
and all these people doing this thing.
Yeah,
and then they start seeing John the Baptist just appearing and disappearing. Like, do you see him? Is he real? Is he not? What's this all about?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, they hear his voice and they follow him. And then we lose the rest of New York. New York becomes completely abandoned.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the ending of it, gone through the whole thing. And
yeah, these people, colorfully dressed individuals dancing and singing, go around the corner of the skyscraper. And then suddenly the city just comes back to the normal city and all these people dressed as businessmen and just normal people just start. Suddenly the streets are full again of life. This is a really effective scene, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to watch the movie again. I haven't seen it for a long time. And when I watched it, I wasn't actually... wasn't a Christian, so I was just
watching
it.
And as I mentioned before in the show, that show was the first time I started doubting things about God and going, this ain't for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, what do you think was better? And maybe we've asked
Godspell.
This before. Godspell or?
Godspell.
The Exorcist.
Oh, The Exorcist is better, actually. It's a much better film.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
You twisted it. I thought you were going to say Jesus Christ Superstar, and I think Godspell is a better film than Jesus Christ Superstar. Okay. Just because Jesus Christ Superstar is a heightened retelling of Jesus, whereas Godspell is a pretty accurate and interesting way to tell parables Like, it's sort of more about his message than, like, like, if I was going to make a complaint about Easter, my complaint would be that we
doesn't come soon enough and you can't eat your sugar.
That's damn true. But also, also the fact that we focus so much on this particular part of Jesus' life, his death.
And resurrection.
And re-life. But also, but we never talk about, like, it just seems like the message gets trampled under these sort of big feasty celebrations like Christmas. There's no Christmas message from baby Jesus. He's just a baby in clothes. He doesn't really start talking until much later, hard to believe. And then Easter isn't really much about what he had to say. You know, it's more about what he did for us.
At least, you know, is about, you know, and again, agnostic, is about, you know, it's about gifts and love and like that is the greatest gift you could get, mm-hmm. is the greatest gift of love you get from God. And he gave his son. Here you go. So there's that.
But what I mean, but he has had more to say than that. I mean, he had lots of things to say.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot in the middle.
Yeah. And I think that gets kind of trampled under these two different celebrations, Easter and Christmas. So we kind of, everyone's so excited to get to Easter.
Yeah.
And then everyone's so excited to get to Christmas.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the church calendar.
New holiday.
New holiday.
What are we celebrating in the middle? Give me one of the things that he's done that...
Well, no, it doesn't be what he's done, but it could be like Christ's Message Day. How's that sound? Or, okay. I don't know. That's
the thing. It's like, how do you need to market this?
Yeah.
Here's what I would say.
It'd be really
hard. Take the old story of casting the first stone. Okay. Don't do it. how about that's a day of where basically you either forgive or don't judge. And it's a day of maybe it's a day of forgiveness. And you look at someone in your life that or something in your life that you haven't forgiven, and you actively try that day.
A good day, actually. Forgiveness day. Yeah. That'd be a good day. I like that idea. Because people do need that. Like in our culture,
just give it a look and just go. What's been burdening you? What have you been holding on to? And let it go. Something I always say is my cheesy joke is Jesus said, "Don't cast the first stone." Never say anything about the second stone. So when someone has thrown that first stone, have at it. No problem with that.
But no one can throw the first stone. That's the point of it.
Well, but if some jerk does, then you're all on board.
No, because it would be the first one you cast.
Well, he says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question. Could Jesus then cast the first stone?
Yes.
But he doesn't.
But he would never do that. Of course not. That would be crazy. That's his point. That's the point. The point isn't some legalism like you threw out there.
Okay. So I've now made up the forgiveness day. Have you got another day you can think of? Like, what's another message that Jesus put forth that you think could wrap a holiday?
Well, the rest of his...
Or a day to think about it.
How about love your neighbor day?
Okay, so the Good Samaritan, what's the parable?
The Good Samaritan story.
Okay, what's a day to be a day to be a Good Samaritan?
A day to be a Good Samaritan, but you have to think about not your next door neighbor, but neighbors that maybe people that you don't like that much are your neighbors. You have to remember that.
That's almost a love thy enemy day.
Yeah, love thy enemy day. That's a better way to put it. Yeah,
that's a tricky one.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Who's your enemy, and what can you do that's nice?
Yeah.
So you give them military secrets.
Well, it doesn't mean enemy like that. It could be a rival in your life.
Yeah.
Someone that you don't get along with, it always kind of rubs you the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
There's people like that in our lives. And it's a day where you kind of, you know, give them a high five, give them a...
Yeah, these are good days to just kind of step back and just go, okay, so who... And by the way, you don't have, on Forgiveness Day, let me say this.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and say to the person you forgive them.
No,
because they might not even know that you've got this beef.
Or care.
Let that shit go.
Yeah.
Unless it's weighing heavily on them and they're asking you to, in which case you could say it.
Yeah. But I mean, you could go and to give that forgiveness to that person, and suddenly, next thing you know, you're having to do something on Love Thy Enemy Day. Because some people don't want, and they might not even understand how you're feeling, and it might even be awkward to make you mad at them.
Yeah, just because you're on a path doesn't mean they're on that same path.
No, they don't care what you feel.
Well, I mean, this is the thing.
It's about your feelings.
I'm all for people who, whatever program you're into that gets you off something like alcohol or drugs or what addiction and what have you is great. It's fantastic. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I really do mean that's fantastic. Ooh, there's my butt. a couple of times I've been the person that someone has had to make amends to.
Okay.
And, man, that's an awkward day when someone's amending you and, you kind of want to go, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
I'd love to be left out of this.
Here's what it should actually be. Make amends to people you offended. Send $20 in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Just put it in an envelope, put it in mail.
Yeah.
Write your name on it. They'll get it. They'll be like, Fred, what the fuck? Oh, and they open it up and like $20. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That's great. After that, your memories of Fred are that he sent you $20. It's going to change your relationship with people. You don't need to actually go there and say, you remember the time I got so drunk I threw up in your shoes, and then I didn't tell you, and you wore them, you know, and then I laughed at you and pretended it wasn't me. And you're like, what, you did that?
Yeah, you don't need that, because they probably put it behind them. Now, yeah, they got to work it out on the next holiday. Yeah. Something I used to do as a teenager was I would take quarters and I would put them in phone booths in the little coin slot.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So when people are doing the old, hey, just like, boy, howdy. Yeah. You raise a person's spirits so high with just a, you know, with just a quarter. Boosted them up a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice. I went to a concert one day by myself, and concert was over. No, it's okay. I often went by myself.
Did they sing One is the Loneliest Number?
They did. I went to see Three Dog Night.
And then the spotlight hit
you?
But by the way, Dave, two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since it's the number one.
Number one. Three is the saddest experience you'll ever feel.
Jesus Christ. What point do you get to a number that's...
Four. Four is fine.
Four is fantastic if one of you is the human torch, others the thing, invisible girl.
I like how you immediately went to a comic book reference. Mine was four is the best number if you're driving a car.
Oh, that's good.
There, yeah.
Four is the amount of Beatles in the band. You might say there's a fifth, but it's debatable.
No. What was I going to say?
You went to a concert.
Oh, yeah, I went to a concert. And then when I got out, my buses were done. All my buses were finished with. Mm. So I was stuck. So then I needed to call my mom and see if I could get her to meet me somewhere.
Everybody, those of you that have listened to any of our shows before, what do you think happens when Dave calls his mom? Does she go, sure, I'll be right there? How many put the money down on that? Well, if you want to bet on the other one.
Prepare to be surprised.
Okay, here he comes.
I phoned my mom. Okay. But here's the thing. I didn't have any money. I didn't have a quarter on me. I just had my bus pass.
You spend it all on t-shirts.
So I didn't have any way to, spend it on. I was a teenager. I had no money. I just, I had a bus pass. So I'm walking on the street and I'm like saying to people, do you have a quarter you could lend me? Do you have a quarter? And then there's these two guys, like they're older than me. Probably not super old. Like they're like in their
20s.
Right. And
would now be incredibly young to you.
If I saw them now, if I saw a 20-year-old, that's right. Now if I see a 20-year-old with a kid, I'm like, oh, that poor teen mom. Oh, that's a hard life. And I'm like, wait a second, she's probably like in her 20s. Yeah. But anyway.
No, those kids that you saw then.
Yeah.
Oh, they're clearly dead by now.
Of old age. I don't know if they're dead.
They're ashes.
In the wind. Let's not say that. But
I wish them the wet.
They gave me a quarter. Oh, so I was like, I can phone my mom. So I went to this phone booth and I did my usual thing. When you go to a phone booth, check the coin thing. There was another quarter in there. And I had two quarters.
So you ran so and I phoned you my gave, mom. Gave that other quarter back to those fellas because you borrowed it,
not,
as you said.
I did not.
Have you paid them back yet?
There was an act of generosity.
You said, can I borrow a quarter? We just heard the story a quarter.
Whatever.
Oh, with interest, my God.
So then,
by this time.
So then I phoned my mom. She said, I'll pick you up. Only if you take a bus and get as close as you can to us. So I had to take a night bus into Burnaby. And it wasn't a surprise. That was one thing my mom would do, is come pick us up places. Not without complaint. I heard all about it. And usually it was like this, what? Oh, why? Kind of things like that, you know. I can't even imagine, like my daughter's phoned me for rides and I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. Come on, I'm coming right away. Why would I want to pick you up? I don't know, because you're my mom and you love me. Isn't that not a reason enough to get in your car and drive somewhere to see me? Like, wouldn't you want to see your son? Hello? But anyway, so then when I got to this other destination, I had to call her again. So then I had this extra quarter, so I was able to give her a call. So it was lucky, a lucky break for me. So thank you for putting that quarter in that slot for me.
Oh, well, there you go.
I appreciate it.
Where was the concert at?
Was it the Commodore?
Oh, it could have been me. That was my stomping grounds.
Yeah, for sure.
What if, everybody?
Yeah, amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? What a turnaround. Yeah, that was what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we were talking about making amends to people and stuff. Hey, let's make a complete crazy 180, 100. Let's make a 360-degree turn.
Okay.
And talk about
quarters.
Quarters and love thy neighbor.
And how much you owe those guys.
We have an entry into our the one that got away.
Okay.
Sorry, this is actually, much like our last person, or someone that we knew, this is also someone that we know, and I know very well.
Okay. Biblically.
Some might even say biblically. That's right. This is like, as I know Jesus, biblically. So this is a story from my wife, Lisa.
Okay.
And this is her story of the one that got away.
Okay. The first thing to know about me is that I am a person who was told by my mother never to talk to strangers. Case in point, when we moved to my house in grade one, my mom told me where the school was, which is 3/4 of a mile down the road, and I was to walk there. And on the very first day, when I was walking to school, this yellow vehicle pulls up beside me, and a man reaches across, and he opens the passenger door, and he said, "Do you want a ride?" And I'm like, "No." And I just start backing up. My heart was beating. My eyes were getting big. And he's like, "It's okay. You can get in." And I'm like, "No." And I backed into the ditch. And he's like, "You sure?" And I'm like, "No." And so then he closed the door, and the school bus drove away, and all the kids were staring at me. So that's who I am. Anyway, fast forward to when I'm 20 years old, and I was in Toronto, and I was coaching some riders at a horse show. And these girls were about 14. There was about 4 girls who were 14 and one that was 12. And it was after the competition was over. We were staying in a hotel, quite a very nice hotel in downtown Toronto. And one of the moms had said a couple days previous that this big rock band had just moved into the hotel. And we were kind of joking and we were guessing. And eventually we decided it was probably Devo. I don't know why we decided Devo. We just thought that would be funny. Anyway, so it was our last night in Toronto. And the girls had all fallen in love with this waiter who worked at this pizza place across the road. So we were going out for pizza yet again. And I was escorting them, and we got into our elevator, and we went down, and all of a sudden the elevator stopped 2 floors down, which it never did. And then the doors opened, and there was 3 men standing there, and they looked as shocked as we looked. And we were looking at them, and they were looking at us, and no one moved, and no one said anything, and it was obvious they didn't want to get on the elevator. And then the one guy in the middle, he kind of looks at the other two, and he just shrugs, and so then they get on the elevator. And these guys looked kind of weird. That was my word for it. They looked different. Their clothes were all sort of like natural fiber, wool, gabardine. Their haircuts were a little bit weird. They just didn't look North American. I didn't really know what it was I was seeing, but they just looked different. And so automatically I was a little bit on edge. And then they talked. And the guy said, "What are you doing here?" And the one little girl who is 12 years old gets down into this karate stance and then leaps forward into the middle of the elevator as though she's going to karate chop them and says, "We're a karate team." And these men were kind of looking at her like, "What?" And so then they look at me because I was obviously not 14. And I went, "No, we're here to go on a horse show. The girls have been riding." And so then they're like, "Oh, okay, so where are you going now?" And they were British. And for some reason, my mother was British. I've been to the UK a lot. I got it in my head that these guys were Irish hikers. Turns out that was wrong. But they said, "Where are you going?" "Out for dinner." Oh, all of a sudden they were very interested. "Where are you going for dinner?" We're like, "Pizza place across the road." "Oh, not interested." And so then they proceeded to try and convince me that I should be going out to dinner with them. And then we got down to the ground floor and the doors open and off we ran. And I was quite happy to be rid of them. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later, we were back home. And at that time, the band The Who was touring because it was their final tour, and they ended up coming to Seattle, which was close to us, and so therefore they were on the front page of the paper. And that's when I realized that that's who it was in the elevator, was Roger Daltrey and 2 other guys from The Who asking us, me, to go out to dinner with them. And I ran away like I was a 12-year-old. Anyway, that's my opportunity that got away because, you know, who knows? I could have been married to Roger Daltrey. I could have been a groupie. I could have been a member of The Who. I could have been who knows what. But, yeah, opportunity missed.
There we go.
Oh, that's great.
Sorry.
That's a great story.
Sorry.
This is 2 great stories in a row.
It's 2 great stories in a row. And
with celebrities, by the way.
It's unfortunate that I have to, like, cut us out of it in order to play it so people can hear
it. Okay, well, play this over it. Ha!
That's good. We had quite a bit of laughter.
But
there,
let me just say this. Mm. Okay. Now, as we know, maybe you folks don't know, but if you give us a story much like that story or the story that Louise Moon gave us in a previous episode, Dave will then do a soundtrack for that story afterwards. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you've just cheated. with this. I think you've completely cheated. Well, because normally it'd be a story about like, oh, and then the bus came and then it's like a funny, funny bus thing. And you got to think a bus related song. Mm-hmm. But when you go like, and the Who was in the elevator.
I already got a bus song in my
I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. But now it's the Who. Yep. Well, you can just have to play a Who song and you're fine.
But yeah, but I got to find.
Cheat.
I got to find a.
I think, and you know what? I would.
Hey.
I would not believe this is a fix.
Wait a second.
Except that you know this woman.
I do know her.
Okay, so she has clearly come up to you and gone, David, what should I do? As like, just make up a story about the Who, because I would like to play some Who songs. And then she did that.
That's right. You know what would be fun is to do all Who songs for the story, because I could do Magic Bus.
Yeah. Oh, don't ruin it all, because you're going to probably put them at the end or on our page or someplace. Yeah. So by the way, if they want to hear these songs, where would they go?
I have to go to the comment section on the website, and I'll have it there, a little separate player underneath the, or maybe above the podcast player. So.
Okay. Well, we're kind of coming to the end of this episode. So
I don't think so.
Okay. I think we are.
I disagree entirely.
All right. The sun's going down soon, and soon God will not be able to protect us because he only exists during the daytime.
That's true.
But yeah, if you want to check that out, sneakydragon.com is our website, and you would be able to see the songs that David has picked for Lisa's story. And once again, great story. Two for two, solid stories.
That was a good story, yes.
We might, at some point, if we get enough of these, want to do a separate link with just the stories and then like some follow-up songs.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
Yeah.
That'd be nice as well.
We're still open, by the way, to more of these. So how would people send these to us?
So, well, I think...
Unless they're married to you and they go, here it is. Fix, the fix is in.
Unless I just, record them myself in the studio down in the shop. That's cheating, isn't it? Here's the thing. You can reach us in a variety of ways, but here's the simplest way to reach us if you want to tell us a story, which is to record your story on your phone and to send it to us as an MP3. Just email it to us to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
sneakyd@sneakydragon.com?
Yeah.
Did you say sneakyd@sneakydragon.com?
I did, because that's your email address.
When you repeat things, people understand
it. People understand it better.
sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
That's the email address.
It's even better if you sing it. sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. There you
go. And then
Honest Nat's Department Store, 48th and Fraser. Every time I go by 48th and Fraser.
Oh, I don't even know that one. But I know that that guy, Dick Irwin is a great, great guy.
Yeah.
And also $1.49 Day, Tuesdays.
$1.49 Day, Woodwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's remember, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
And then, so you can send it there, or... If you like, you can call us on our Skype number, which is first name Sneaky, last name Dragon, Sneaky Dragon, and just...
No underline or anything.
No underline or anything like that.
Sneaky Dragon. Just
Sneaky Dragon. And I think there are other Sneaky Dragons on Skype. I didn't realize that when I did this, but ours has our little Sneaky D logo, so it's a Sneaky Dragon. You'll see it. And then, so you can leave, you can phone that, and it will take you to a voicemail, and then you can leave a message for us there. With your story.
And we're looking at these stories to be about 2 minutes long.
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah. By the way, also, if Dave owes you a quarter from way back in the day, give us a call there. He will pay you back.
Nope.
Okay.
It's a done deal. Long past.
All right.
I believe that the, what is it called? Statute of limitations has run out on that particular crime. And I'm taking it to the bank. That quarter, which I spent many years ago on a phone. What else? Oh, yes. We have a Facebook page called Sneaky Dragon. We have a Twitter account.
By the way, if you like us on Facebook, we'll be happy.
That's true. And I'll creep you. @sneaky_dragon is our Twitter handle.
That's creeping dragon.
Creepy dragon. And then we have... And you can also just write to us on our Facebook... Or not on our Facebook, on our comment section on our website, which is www.sneakydragon.com.
What if they like Tumblr?
If you like Tumblr, we're on there too. We're Sneaky Dragon on Tumblr.
SneakyDragon.tumblr.com.
And you can find we regularly post our podcast on there. It's pretty much the same as the website. I don't know. It's
and also, now that we're on the topic of this, look, it's always nice to get a little review from you guys too. Mm. That helps people to find us. So if you can go onto iTunes and however many stars you think is appropriate, we're not going to be those jerks going 5-star everything. Some people do that. We don't play it like that.
No,
you be honest. Yeah, you be straight.
Be honest.
It's cool. Don't be mean. Don't be dinks. Don't be like a couple of people on a separate podcast we do. Be you know, we'll take the constructive criticism and we enjoy it. Yeah. Say what you think.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever nation in the world you're from, there's an iTunes and you can go and do that review.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. And sometimes we have no idea that you're doing it and we go like, Australia gave us a review. That's neat.
That's really neat. Not just one, but three.
Mm-hmm.
I know because I look. Sometimes you just want the little ego, the little endorphin rush of, ooh. People like us. And that's the best thing. If you guys have constructive criticism, my favorite constructive criticism is you guys are great. That's the one I react to the best.
Well, here's the other thing. If you've got any actual notes for us of ways you could improve the show,
yeah.
Then very similar to what Dave said earlier, take those notes, write them on the back of a $20 bill, and send them to us.
We will read them very closely.
We will read them thoroughly.
Yeah, we will thoroughly read
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. So just, it couldn't be simpler. Back of a $20 bill, just write the notes. And if you don't have enough room on that first 20, write it on the second 20. Just write, and you know what? Write as many notes as you need to.
That's nice. Oh, and here's another thing I just want to say before we go is I just want to thank everyone who sent us names, potential names for our Marx Brothers podcast, which is imminent. I'm gonna say a couple weeks away yet. Still, we need some.
Right now, the winning one so far is Groucho Slouchos.
That you just made that up.
I did. Yeah,
that's not even one.
The one that's second in the running is Chico and These Men.
That's not bad. Once again.
Just made it up.
Just made it up on the spot. If I talk long enough, you'll come up with a Harpo win.
Let me tell you a little something real fast before we wrap this up.
Sure.
I used to teach a comedy class.
Yep.
Coincidentally, that's where I met a fellow who ran a used car lot. I might have brought that up earlier, but there wasn't a space to shove that in. Anyway, he was a used car dealer who did a car dealership called Cars from Mars, and he would do his own
ads
and whatever. But anyway, he came to comedy class.
Okay.
Anyway, I inherited this comedy class from the late Mark Dennison, and one of the things that he had on there, one of the first activities was come up with other names for Marx Brothers that didn't exist.
Oh,
so
it
was
okay.
Like Zeppo, Gummo, Harpo. And then so you make up all your funny like Marx names.
Yeah.
And then
Schleppo.
And then someone at some point would always go Skid. And it'd be like, yuck, I don't like this. And so I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Yep. The end.
Mm.
Yeah. Schleppo is not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Schleppo. That's me. Okay.
Or Bilbo. And he's just always wanting to take a.
That would be good. Someone who's really, really talented with video, they should put Bilbo into a Marx Brothers film.
Mm-hmm.
That could work.
Yep.
That could work. Not us. We don't know. We don't know how to do that stuff. But
Or the gorilla Coco. Who does sign language.
Mm.
So she could have some nice silent stuff as well with Harpo. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally, you know, just like throw someone around.
I like it. I like it. And I like the fact that the beginning of the show is a car accident and the end of the show is another car accident.
Absolutely.
I think we bookend the show very well.
Now I just want to do a podcast where we're all very pro Margaret Dumont.
Margaret Dumont.
Yeah, pro Margaret Dumont. Mm. And our whole podcast is just about, I wish they just let her talk.
She's in two of my very favorite films.
Which are?
Duck Soup.
And?
Never Give a Sucker an Even Break, the W.C. Fields film.
Good on her.
Yes, very a great actress. A great actress.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to our nonsense for an hour and a bit. We appreciate it. We like the fact that you enjoy us talking in your ear while you do dishes, go on a bicycle.
Dishes are done. If you've listened to the whole thing, those dishes are done.
I'm talking.
Okay. You're on a bike.
And by the way, those dishes are done. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the show. Bye.